From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of July 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, farm groups want the Obama administration to help financially struggling U.S. dairy farmers. Informa Economics is forecasting an increase in this year's hard red winter wheat crop for Friday's crop production report from USDA. And U.S. EPA has extended the comment period on an update to the Renewable Fuels Standard, also known as the RFS-2. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then we'll review just how likely it is that the lower price of corn this year, as compared to last, will stimulate both the livestock and the ethanol industries. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. A lot of red there. July contract and the soft red winter wheat at $5.90.5, down 9.75 on a settlement price. September at 5.19.25, 9.75 lower. And December futures for the soft red at 5.45.25, down 9.75. Hard red traded in Kansas City. July contract 12.5 lower for the harvest month at 5.42.25 back in Chicago. Nearby July corn futures, a loss of 2.5 cents to settle at $3.43.25. September at 3.34.75, down 11 cents. And December contract at $3.44.25, down 13.25. The March corn, 3.56.25, 14.75 lower. And the May contract at 3.65.25, down 15.25. July beans, $12, down 43 cents. August at 11.18.5, 35.5 lower. September at 10.22.5, down 38.5, and the November harvest month at $9.63, down 43 cents. January futures, 9.66, 41.75 lower. July bean meal at 401.20, down 10 bucks. Oil at 34.29, down 89. August live cattle, 84.42.5, 45 cents lower, and the July lean hog, 67.5 higher at 60.65. Taking a look at the outside markets for the afternoon. Nearby ethanol futures at $1.62.5, 2.5 cents lower for the day. Crude oil at $64.05 a barrel, down $2.68. Natural gas at $3.48.8, 12.7 cents lower. The RBOB at $1.74.02. That finished down 4.8 cents in the August heating oil. Diesel fuel, $1.62.08. Down 7.3. August propane futures, 77.6, down 4.1 for the day. And the gold futures at $924 an ounce, settled $6.70 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on the afternoon at 82.87, up 6 points for the day. The U.S. dollar at 80.44 is up 0.06. And the CRB index this afternoon finished the day at 240.13, that's down 5.73 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. As prepared by our own Mike Sola, he says tonight, mostly clear skies, lows from 55 in northern Indiana to 64 in the far south, and then tomorrow in northern Illinois, partly sunny, a few scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms should be possible. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 74 near Lake Michigan to 88 in the southern and western parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says temps will begin a warming trend, especially in southern and central sections early this week. Northern areas will continue to experience slightly below average temperatures until the middle of next week. Showers and thunderstorms will be confined to the north until midweek as a cool front will slowly drift toward the Illinois and Kankakee River valleys. Net drying will occur, says Mr. Sola, in the south this week, but dryness will not be a concern in any areas due, of course, to the abundant subsoil moisture levels. More on the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel with Grainfield with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us today, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, what an ugly day it was in Chicago. Did this all begin in the overnight trade, too?
Yeah, it opened lower. It proceeded to stay lower most of the evening and early morning hours. And as we started the day session, we picked up about where we left overnight. And then as our day session went on, we proceeded to move lower, especially going into the last part of the day. Big historic 4th of July weekend, and some areas were waterlogged, per se, and even wearing a jacket on the 4th of July sort of dampened everybody's weekend mood there just on Saturday. But go back in history, oftentimes, 4th of July, if there is a weather concern, you come back, the market's off to the races. Then oftentimes, too, you come back from the 4th of July, if there's no real immediate weather concern as far as hot, dry conditions, the market has a tendency to sort of roll over, especially after last year. Saw the market top corn first part of June, these beans the first part of July, and did not look back whatsoever as we came off those historic highs a year ago, Todd.
Well, do you want to start with the beans or the corn and tell me about it technically? It looked like the corn market had a really rough start to the week. It's gap lower on both the weekly and the daily charts now.
Oh, boy, ever since 3 weeks ago there, we broke the uptrend line. It's been just straight down. The market offered two congestion type of trading weeks there, then just sort of failed to hold those levels. It's just been straight down. We're basically $1.30 off the high here that we established the first part of June. Psychological-wise, we've done major damage here by closing below this 350 area. Back in December, December corn futures had a low of 49 and a quarter. We're down here below that. It sort of opens the gates now for the market to road down to the 2006 low of down to this 302 level. So failure to get back above this 350 area suggests probably 320, 325, then the $3 benchmark. As far as the beans go, they held in there much better than corn in perspective, but when you look at the lows we made last winter down in the 780, 770 area, failure to sort of hold those lows last week will sort of open the door for them to sort of roll over and move lower here. I think the key would be last week's low in the November beans. Failure to hold that would open the door to $8. There's a lot of bearish technical pictures now. Some analysts have beans going in the $5 area, and some of this corn down to $2.50, $2.60. I don't think it's quite that bearish, but the trend is lower here, and with the commodity funds adding to their selling pressure.
Well, I have a question about this because it is a fundamentally, I know an 87 million acre corn crop is a big one. It brings in a very large national yield or production number, but is the marketplace in this kind of territory suggesting that there's still a lack of demand or more demand yet to be sloughed off of the marketplace?
Well, that's the key from here on out. We've dialed in the production side with the acres and whatever type of yield you want to put on it. Now, the key is between now and the August report is to figure out where we are with demand. Whether you talk export, feed use, ethanol use, and so forth, as we go lower in here, demand will increase from the opportunity to book in some lower prices. Then, two, the miscellaneous feed usage category will go up. on the demand side, just the fact we've got a bigger crop. You know, historically, we got big crops, big feed use, small crops, small feed use. So that's what we'll sort out as we go through the next couple months, whether or not this demand picks up.
Well, where do you see it picking up, or will it? I mean, is there much of a concern, for instance, about the unemployment figure last week and whether it shows more weakness in the economy in the United States and the overall world economy than maybe we have thought at this point, that the recovery we've seen in the economic terms is going to be slower than maybe some had expected?
Well, that's been the concern in the equity market, not seeing the speedy recovery. You know, we're talking about pumping a lot of money into the economy, but it's not gotten in my checkbook yet where I can help things out just yet. And, you know, they're talking about speeding things up. So, yeah, that could keep a lid on things. Also, too, with that last rally in their energies, there was concern that gasoline would go back to some higher levels, and that's the last thing we need to have is higher energy prices to restart the economy. So domestic demand, for say, is probably on hold, especially on the ethanol side. But probably the demand side, economy side, would be the world economy, especially Asia on our bean side equation. So it's going to be important for Asia, particularly China, continue to see their economy try to improve or lead the world higher here, because they are the world's largest buyer of beans, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere.
Anything else to add for the day before I let you go?
Well, it's a dynamic market, straight up, straight down. This is the whole key, is to having some type of game plan ahead, and there's all kinds of strategies to play catch up here. So, encourage you to spend some time with some of the guys on the program here and come up with some type of battle plan.
Kurt, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he joins us each and every Monday right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. We post all of our ag programming to willag.org. You can get to it anytime you'd like. You can subscribe there to our weekend newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, and look for our daily ag weather podcast. It's all at willag.org, and it's all absolutely free, and it's just as easy to unsubscribe usually as it is to subscribe. So visit willag.org. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media, is here now with today's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, with world wholesale dairy prices at their lowest level in 5 years, farm groups are calling on the Obama administration and Congress to take action to help dairy farmers. The National Milk Producers Federation wants the Obama administration to make administrative changes in dairy policy, while the National Farmers Union has called for a congressional fix. A spokesperson for Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says late last week that USDA officials are reviewing a letter from the milk producers group urging Vilsack to raise the purchase price for cheese blocks, barrel cheese, and non-fat dry milk powder. The United States and 21 other countries have formally joined the International Renewable Energy Agency, bringing the organization's total membership to 136 nations. The goal of the agency is to help increase the market share of renewable energy in energy consumption worldwide. Informa Economics expects USDA to forecast an increase in U.S. hard red winter wheat production to 915 million bushels, 47 million bushels above last month's estimate, but still 120 million bushels below last year. The firm estimates an average yield for hard red winter wheat of 38.2 bushels per acre, down 1.8 bushels per acre from last year. USDA will release its crop production report on this Friday. The Environmental Protection Agency is extending the comment period on a draft rule that aims to cut greenhouse gases emitted on biofuels. The proposed changes to the 2007 U.S. Renewable Fuel Standard attempt to make production of corn-based ethanol more efficient and increase output of advanced biofuels. The comment period on the rule, known as RFS2, will now end on September 25th instead of July 27th. The climate bill, recently passed by the House of Representatives, included an amendment that would prohibit the EPA from implementing this rule for 5 years during a study of indirect land use change. And the American Farm Bureau Federation released a quarterly survey showing price declines in several major protein products from livestock and poultry, including ham, milk, eggs, chicken breasts, bacon, and ground chuck. The Farm Bureau's informal survey shows the cost of 16 food items used to prepare a meal was $46.29, down about 2% or $1.12 from earlier this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, the Closing Market Report, and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear online anytime you'd like at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the June 30th USDA reports put another nail into that flagging corn market. The report showed nearly 3 million more acres of corn had been planted this season than most in the trade had expected. I'll have complete details with University of Illinois' Darryl Good.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
There's only one word to describe the June acreage report. It is wow, says University of Illinois Professor Emeritus and Ag Economist Darryl Good. Wait a second, you heard that right. Dr. Good is now in working retirement, and his title is Professor Emeritus. Now back to the corn market. USDA, in its June 30 acreage report, estimates U.S. farmers have or will plant about 87 million acres of corn. That's 2 million more acres than reported in the March estimates, and Good says the trade thought that number was, well, too big.
We got a big number on corn. Folks were looking for slightly fewer acres than intended in the March report. The average guess was down about 800,000 acres. What we found was an increase of about 2 million acres over March intentions. So the net is a swing of about 2.8 million acres compared to expectations. So really caught the market leaning the wrong way, and this points to a much larger corn crop than we thought before, and kind of takes the edge off of the expectation about tightening stocks during the 2009-2010 marketing year.
Takes the edge off the worry that ending stocks by the time the fall of 2010 rolls around will be approaching a meager 1.1 billion bushels. The corn crop in the ground, if realized to its USDA projected potential, should top out well above 12 billion bushels, and that would mean a 1.6 to 7 billion bushel 09-10 ending stocks figure, or about the same as this year, but with much lower cash prices. And therein lies the silver lining.
It's not a terribly big carryover. And what we would expect now, if corn prices are permanently lower here for the foreseeable future, that this should really slow, perhaps bring to a halt, the liquidation in livestock numbers, which means that consumption can get back onto a little higher plane. This should also improve the margins for ethanol producers. With energy prices staying relatively high and now corn prices breaking. So they will have less difficulty, I think, meeting the mandates on corn ethanol production. So consumption will be improved, I think, with the lower prices.
So the price of corn will be low enough to stabilize the livestock and ethanol industries. That'll happen with average cash prices somewhere below $4. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. On the line with us is the manager of the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. His name, of course, is Brian Stark. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, lower prices, well below $4, would stimulate the ethanol and the livestock industry, and I guess we have that today, don't we?
I would say so. I hope that the demand components are feeling a little bit easier, let's say now. I know that the livestock industry has struggled last year and a half, so hopefully this is at least aiding them in their frustrations and kind of calming a little fear with the higher prices they've been experiencing prior to the last decline we've seen the last couple of weeks.
The Andersons, of course, heavily invested in the ethanol industry. That part of your program starting to feel better, too?
Yeah, I would say for the last month or so, margins have looked pretty good, and obviously they were better when crude oil had ticked above $70 and natural gas was lower, but I think all of the components have drastically improved the margins, and I think people are starting to maybe blend beyond what we call discretionary blend and beyond what's required in the mandate, at least from an individual producer or refiner perspective.
That sounds familiar. Happened last year for a while, too.
Yeah, it did, and I think the market dynamics generally changed that, and I think, you know, there's been some talk here after the USDA put out some found some added acres here last week that maybe there's a bigger push for that 15% blend now that it looks like we don't have a supply crunch, at least ahead of us in the near future.
And what do you suppose farmers will think of the whole process?
Well, I think right now the biggest thing I would tell them to do rather than sitting on their hands is to look at an opportunity to see where they are from a price perspective. First thing I would look at is their crop insurance. 85% CRC and 85% of their 404 guarantee is 343.5. So without even looking at their yields, their price component today is right there almost in line with a potential payout. Yes, we're 3 months away from the critical October month, but I still think that there's a reason they took it out. That's their protection, so they can be a little patient going forward to see how pollination weather comes out.
And I'd better get your bids for the
okay.
afternoon.
Okay, cash corn here at Champaign today looks like we are 336. Fall corn is 328. And cash soybeans are, 1170. And fall beans, we are 946.
All right, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from their office joins us each and every Monday on the Closing Mark Report. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the people up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Fried Chicken Day. Fried chicken dates back to ancient cultures all over the world, including Rome, Egypt, and China. Fried chicken in America has its roots in southern slavery. Fried chicken was often served among slaves on special occasions. It's also National Pickle Festival Day. As early as 1659, Dutch farmers in New York grew cucumbers, which were sold to dealers who cured them in barrels and sold them from market stalls. But it was not until 1820 that pickles were sold commercially in jars. In 1858, lineman Blake patented the first shoe sole machine. His invention revolutionized the shoe industry and made Plymouth County, Massachusetts, the nation's shoe capital. In 1886, Horlicks of Wisconsin offered the first malted milk for sale to the public. Horlicks developed the process to dehydrate milk and patented it in 1883, calling it malted milk. The company originally produced a food for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And in 1990, Nathaniel Wyeth died. Wyeth, an American chemist and inventor, received a patent for PET plastic beverage bottles. Those were the first plastic bottles strong enough to hold carbonated beverages that would satisfy food safety requirements. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. And on the line with us this afternoon is Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a beautiful 5th it was over the weekend. And we managed to get the 4th of July celebrations in after what I suppose most farmers might think was kind of a needed and welcomed shower in much of the area.
Yeah, especially after the past week or so of generally dry conditions, the general soaking rains that occurred on the 4th, especially areas of central Illinois and central Indiana, definitely helped things out here. And looking ahead here as we go through this week, we do see more rain on the way, as well as temperatures averaging out to be pretty close to normal when you average out the next 5 or 6 days. It looks like beyond that, we do see at least a turn to cooler than normal conditions, which has been a trend, obviously, much of the growing season. But in the short term here, kind of, you know, near normal temperatures, but also active conditions, especially areas around and west of the Mississippi River.
I had about 1 1/10 inches in my rain gauge, though I missed the first 3 hours of that. I think probably another 3 tenths beyond that, maybe 1 1/4 inches, 1 1/2 inches. Was that pretty typical of what came across the Midwest?
More so biased south. Todd here. It really wasn't confined to the northern Midwest at all, and even up in areas of northern Illinois,
right,
only about 1/10 or 2/10 of an inch at most. And going further up north, Wisconsin, Minnesota, basically missed out on the bulk of precip this holiday weekend.
Anybody in need of those rainfalls that are coming then?
Well, areas of Iowa and Minnesota, which have been also kind of trending drier of late, and other pockets in the northern belt that have missed out on rains lately could use a little bit more rain. And looks like a very good opportunity here this week.
Winter wheat crops should be coming in all across the nation. Who's set for a good week and who's not?
Well, the most active conditions here look to be across areas of Nebraska where there still is winter wheat to be harvested, and then some sections of the northern Midwest, especially in Michigan. But overall, probably not active enough to really cause any kind of major harvest issues. But, yeah, a few backups here and there.
All right. Can you check in on conditions on China? And then last week, not with you, but with one of the other meteorologists, we talk about some of the problems that India is suffering through, too.
Yeah, looking at Asia, starting off with China, China continues to be in very good shape. We just had one dry pocket in areas of the Yellow River Valley, which includes part of the North China Plain. That area has been trending drier and also has seen some heat over the past week to 10 days. It does look like those issues are going to be coming to an end as rain and cooler temperatures work their way into the region this week. So that'll keep China in good shape overall. And also we do see improvement across India where the monsoon has become more kind of, you know, revitalized here over the past several days after its issues throughout the month of June. And we see kind of a more typical monsoon season, or at least the next couple of weeks across India. So that's helping improve things as their summer crops begin to get planted.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. You have a great day, and I'll talk with you again tomorrow.